You would please open your Bibles to Proverbs 17. One of the wisest people that I've ever known, one of the most successful people I've ever known, one of the godliest and most humble people I've ever known was Billy Graham's father-in-law, Dr. L. Nelson Bell. And Dr. Bell made it a habit, as part of his daily devotions, to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, every day, every day. Now, I don't do that. There have been periods in my life when I did that, and those were good times. But I'm not going to stand here before you and try and give you the impression that, well, Pastor Wood, in addition to everything else, apparently is also reading a chapter of Proverbs every day. No, would that that were so. But the reason he did that was twofold. Number one, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. That means that every month you can do one chapter a day and there will be a fresh chapter the next day. At the end of the month, now if it's in February, you don't have to read chapters 29, 30, and 31, but it wouldn't hurt. But there have been times over the years here at the ranch when we are between book studies, because normally we study a book of the Bible straight through. And when we're between one of those book studies, I do this message that God puts on my heart or this one that God puts on my heart. And sometimes we go to the book of Proverbs. And if we go to the book of Proverbs, you can pretty much guess, based on what day it is, which chapter we're going to be in. Because this is the 17th. So we are in Proverbs chapter 17. And again, I commend to you the habit of reading a chapter a day. I've done that many, many times. And it is a great way. I told you there were two reasons. One is there are 31 chapters. Second reason is because this is God's Word. And it is filled with wisdom that is applicable to our lives. And if you keep going back to God's Word and being shaped by it, even over and over and over and over the same stuff, you'll see things you haven't seen before. You'll see things in a fresh way. And as you put it into practice in your life, it will change you for the good. Proverbs chapter 17, this is God's word. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. A wise servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Arrogant lips are unsuited to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? A bribe is a charm to the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. An evil man is bent only on rebellion. A merciless official will be sent against him. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge and puts up security for his neighbor. He who loves a quarrel loves sin. He who builds a high gate invites destruction. A man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. To have a fool for a son brings grief, There's no joy for the father of a fool. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A wicked man accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the course of justice. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. It is not good to punish an innocent man or to flog officials for their integrity. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, we could spend the whole time on just one or two of these, but we're going to look at several, all right? There is a main message that I'm going to focus on, but I want to touch base on a few of these others. The first one is the first verse. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Isn't it really all about the food? Isn't that what matters most? No, actually, the atmosphere is even more important than the food. And if you're in an atmosphere of constant strife and quarreling and people upset with each other and so forth, you're going to get indigestion no matter what you're eating. But if you're in an atmosphere where there's peace and quiet, then even a very modest diet is going to be better for you and more greatly enjoyed. Atmosphere is more important than diet. I would urge you, as you all know, to eat a healthy diet. But even more than that, cultivate a peaceful atmosphere. Because if you're following keto or you're following any number of other healthy diets, and yet you're in the midst of constant strife, you're going to be unhealthy. It's more important to learn how to deal with stress. And by the way, as you grow in the Lord and rest in Him, you can find peace in a lot of environments where other people would be stressed out. So I encourage you, cultivate a peaceful atmosphere. Look down at verse 3. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. What is that talking about? Precious metals have to be refined, and they're not refined just by polishing. In order to make them pure, they have to be heated to the point where the impurities within them rise to the surface. And when those impurities come to the surface, they are skimmed off by the refiner. God does that with us. God puts us in the fire, in a hot situation, in difficulty, in order to bring to the surface stuff we thought wasn't even there. I didn't know that was in me. You've heard the illustration. If somebody jostles against you when you're standing there with a cup of coffee, what's going to come out? Coffee. Why? Because that's what's in the cup. That jostling, that bump, brings out what's on the inside. And when we go through difficulty, it brings to the surface what's inside. God, in His mercy, transitioned me during my teen years from being one who, when certain things would happen, would let loose a word that shouldn't be spoken, to one who learned to say praise the Lord when things went wrong, which was very peculiar sometimes to people around me. But if something would happen, what came out was praise. Do you know how that happens? You change what you're putting in, and you change what you're meditating on when things aren't bad. If you're praising God and praising God and praising God, because that's what you're filled with, and you get bumped, what's going to come out is what's inside. So cultivate an attitude of praise and thanks to God so that that's what comes out. That's how the metal gets refined, so that when it's heated, there's no more trash to come up top. Okay? They keep skimming it off and reheating it and skimming it off until it's pure. And God does that with our heart. The Lord tests the heart, just as the crucible and the furnace test silver and gold. Verse 4, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Now this is leading us toward what we're going to be focused on in the rest of the chapter. The importance of truth. There are some people who really care whether what's being said is true, and there are other people who just enjoy it. It's a good story, okay? This person said that about that person. We don't care if it's true. It's just, wow. Let me tell you what I heard. That's horrible. God hates that. Let me say that again. God hates that. Gossip and slander are an abomination to God. And what matters is truth. A wicked man listens to evil lips. So what does a righteous person do? Refuses to listen. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. The person who is dishonest doesn't care if it's true. But a godly person, a person who cares about what God cares about, is going to take a different approach. They're going to care. And folks who are liars, they don't want to hear it. Folks who are malicious, in other words, it may even be true, but the reason someone's saying it is not to be helpful, it's to be hurtful. That's not okay. Don't tolerate it. Now then, verse 7. Arrogant lips are unsuited to a fool. How much worse lying lips to a ruler? God hates lying. God hates it. Well, if God hates it, we better get in step with Him. Verse 8, a bribe is a charm to the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. Oh, well then that sounds like a good thing to do, right? No. Look at verse 23. A wicked man accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the course of justice. Look at verse 15. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Now look at verse 26. That's where we need to be. It is not good to punish an innocent man or to flog officials for their integrity. A person who perverts justice. Verse 15. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. There is such a thing as truth, and there is such a thing as justice, and the two are inextricably tied together. Okay? Let's take an example from recent history here in our country. Hands up, don't shoot. Is that familiar? Where'd that come from? Well, the public was told that that's what a fellow who was shot dead by a police officer said before he was shot. And it led to riots and a movement that is still out there rolling around today. What's the problem with that? Shouldn't we be against police brutality? Yes, we should. Shouldn't we be against an innocent, unarmed man who's saying, "Don't shoot," getting shot? Yes, we should be against that. Only problem is the eyewitnesses and the forensic study that was carried out by the Obama administration came to the conclusion that actually that isn't what the guy was doing, that isn't what he said, that isn't what happened. That's not what happened. You understand? I'm not telling you, believe me, I know. I'm telling you the Obama administration did a federal investigation and concluded that actually the police officer was acting in self-defense. He was being charged by a guy aggressively based on eyewitness reports from the neighbors who were not friendly toward the police. But thank God, they did believe in truth. Now, does that mean there's no such thing as police brutality? No. Does that mean that there aren't police who behave in a criminal way and need to be punished severely? No, it doesn't mean that. It means there are folks who do wrong and they need to be punished. But we don't make that situation better by punishing people who aren't doing wrong. The truth matters. The truth matters. The truth matters. What this says is that there are people who succeed by giving bribes. That's what verse 8 says. There are people who succeed by giving bribes, but God hates it. God hates it. Why? Because they're perverting justice. And if you pervert justice, you're an answer to God. You're going to answer to God. Whether you're a judge or a juror or simply a person in society, you and I need to realize that God will not be mocked. And whatever a person sows, he'll also reap. And we cannot act as if, those of us who know God, cannot act as if truth is just relative. It's what it means to you. The Babylon Bee is a satire site, okay? They deliberately say things that are not true. But what they say is, hey, we're a satire site. This stuff isn't true. They call it fake news you can trust. Okay? Because the difference between the Babylon Bee and the mainstream media in this country is that the Babylon Bee says, hey, this didn't really happen, but isn't this a funny take on what those folks are saying and doing? Okay? Mainstream media says, this is what happened, and they're lying through their teeth and they know it. Even when it's pointed out to them, that picture that you used to indict the folks in Washington about what was happening down on the border, that really wasn't a current event picture. It was a picture from back when Mr. Obama was president. Did you know that? The pictures that came out about children being detained. Now, does that mean children weren't being detained under the Trump administration? No, it doesn't at all. It means that they already had the pictures from back when the Obama administration was doing it, and they didn't talk about it back then. But now they would use those pictures to try and say what a terrible thing Trump was doing. I'm not here to defend Trump. I'm here to indict the media. Okay? They showed a picture of a hospital during COVID in New York City. Except it wasn't in New York City. It was in another country. That's all right. It'll do. Let's run it. It was pointed out to them that that wasn't a picture from a hospital in New York City. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a mistake. And then they ran it again. They showed pictures of the irresponsible people out on the beach on the West Coast and the East Coast. Wow. Same people, same swimsuits, same picture. How can that be that out on the West Coast and over on the East Coast, we got the same thing going on? The mainstream media doesn't give a rip. And it's not a new problem. This is not, I'm not talking about current events as some aberration. When I was pastoring in Atlanta in the 1980s, I was privileged to be one of the leaders in the pro-life cause. And we had a huge rally down at the state capitol in Atlanta. And there were hundreds of people. And that's a modest count. Hundreds of people at the state capitol. And we had basically a time of worship, including my leading A Mighty Fortress Is Our God from the steps of the Capitol, which was fun. And then we marched through the streets of Atlanta protesting the slaughter of unborn children. Before the meeting officially started, and I had to be up on the steps to help lead, I was walking around greeting people, seeing what was going on, and I saw a reporter for Atlanta's news radio station standing over at a little distance with a small group of people around him, less than a dozen people around him. And so I went over to see what was going on, and he was standing there, and here's what he was saying on Atlanta's news radio station in the 1980s. Okay? I'm here at the state capitol where about equal numbers of anti-choice and pro-choice demonstrators have gathered. And in the background behind him, less than a dozen people, hand-picked, were chanting, "Keep abortion safe and legal! Keep abortion safe and legal! Keep abortion safe and legal!" Their voices were the only ones being heard behind his on the radio. Why was he doing that? Because he's a liar. This wasn't, well, yeah, hundreds, less than a dozen. That's about equal numbers. This wasn't because the guy didn't know the facts. It's because the facts didn't fit his agenda. So what I'm telling you is, this is an ongoing problem that's been around for thousands of years. You understand? It's not like, oh, so you're saying the American media. No, I'm saying the human heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? The human heart is deceitfully wicked, and God hates lying. And God hates people who try and pervert justice. God hates it. And we need to realize that it is not only not okay, but it's going to be dealt with by God. God has promised that He will bring about justice. And God's people are supposed to be on the side of justice. That means that when the police do wrong, it needs to be exposed, it needs to be dealt with, they need to be punished. But it means that when other people do wrong, it needs to be exposed, it needs to be dealt with, it needs to be punished. And even though you can, in this fallen world, succeed by bribing people to pervert justice, it's not going to succeed in the long term. God promises that He'll deal with it. A man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Please zero in on that verse this morning. If you acquit the guilty, you let somebody off even though you know they've done the wrong thing. It's like, no, they didn't do anything. No, no. Mm-mm. If you acquit the guilty, God detests it. And if you condemn the innocent, God detests it. A friend of mine was a lawyer in Atlanta. He was to represent Holiday Inn in a lawsuit where a woman came back from partying, drunk as a skunk, and found, she decided she wanted to go for a swim, okay? But the pool was closed. And the Holiday Inn didn't just have a fence that was as high as the law required. They had, for safety's sake, built a taller fence to be sure that people didn't go into the pool area when they weren't supposed to. The pool was closed, the gate was locked, the sign was clear. It's closed, no one allowed. Pool will reopen at 9 a.m. or whatever it was. But this woman thought, well, I want to go for a swim. And so she climbed the chain link fence and fell over the top and broke her neck and sued Holiday Inn. Well, who are you gonna side with? I mean, look at this poor woman. She's sitting there, she can't use her arms or legs. Holiday Inn, they've got money. They're a company. They're a corporation. They've got insurance. Let's find for her and give her enough money to live the rest of her life since she can't work. And it's not her fault. She was drunk. So, you know, she didn't know what she was doing. What do you think? Is it okay? That's called injustice. If you acquit the guilty, shame on you. If you convict the innocent, shame on you. God detests them both. Justice is not about giving in to whoever is yelling the loudest. Justice is not about giving in to whoever is most upset. There are people in our country right now infecting the educational system and the governmental system who literally will try and tell you, hear me, I'm not making this up. Mathematics is racist. That's not true. It discriminated against me. You know the problem that some people have with math? 1 + 1 is always 2. Whether you like it or not. 2 + 2 is always 4. And there are people, I'm talking supposedly educated, they're miseducated, but there are people with advanced degrees in positions of leadership who are saying that it is racist to say that there's always one right answer. That's a white, patriarchal view of life. And we shouldn't impose that on people. Which has nothing to do with race. Math wasn't invented by white people. You understand? I mean, it's just fact. See, your emphasis on facts, Mr. Wood, that's racist. No! What about feelings? Okay? Facts don't change. Feelings change. And facts have got to be given preference over feelings. So you're saying we shouldn't care about people's feelings? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if you care about people, you better care about facts. If you care about people, you better care about facts. Because I'll tell you something. Whether you like it or not, gravity's not going away. Whether you like it or not, mathematics is a reminder to humanity that there is such a thing as right and wrong, truth and untruth. There is a God who does not change and whose word does not change. And mathematics should remind us of that. Now, is there grace? Yes. Thank God. Is there mercy? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Is it possible for a guilty person to be forgiven? Absolutely. Thank God. But we need forgiveness, not denial, not rationalization, not pretending that wrong is right. That's not a racial statement. And I long for the day when our dear friend and brother in Christ, Bodie Baucom, hopefully one day will come here and share more of that with you himself. Meanwhile, those of you who are watching or listening, I recommend his newest book, Fault Lines, which is a bestseller. I encourage you to get it and read it, embrace it, and share it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your marvelous mercy and grace. Thank you that when we had violated your law and deserved punishment, you took the punishment. You came to save us. Not pretending that what we did was okay, but paying the debt that we owed. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.